Speaking of stuck, you know, sometimes in a relationship, maybe you feel stuck, or you don't feel stuck, but you just can't get past certain issues. Or maybe you've got a good relationship with your wife, girlfriend, whatever, and but there, you know, there's it's not what it used to be. It's not as exciting. Whatever the case might be, we all try to reconcile these things. My next guest is Catherine Tornquist. She's a nurse psychotherapist, or what I, as a layman, might call a counselor. In the old days, they called them marriage counselors, but I don't think that's how they do that anymore. And she is holding a workshop next Monday. It's called Solution-Focused Workshop for Singles and Couples. And Catherine joins us right now in the WJBC studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Mark.
You're an Illinois Wesleyan product,
right?
Who's been practicing here in the area for a long time. Let's first talk about what it is you do. As I'm not going to use the word psychotherapist, okay? Because I think
works for me.
It has connotations that people misinterpret. So
shrinks.
Yeah. Well, you're a counselor, and you try to help point people in the right direction and work with their strengths and their weaknesses. So how do you do that when you have a couple come to you, or even if they're not a couple? What do you do?
So this is really my passion, to help couples, because they're raising kids, you know, and they're the foundation of communities and peace in the world even. So what we do is we look at, okay, what will the evidence be when you've gotten what you came for? I ask them that first question, and then that guides what we do to focus on what they're not getting that they want in their relationship. About half of what I do is couples work.
Is it different for the man than the woman?
Of what they want?
Yeah.
Sometimes not. There's usually some overlap in what they want. They both want to be happy. They want to be able to resolve their conflicts in a respectful way.
Happiness is defined differently by different people, and that's where you run into your challenge.
So that's one of those things where you know it when you got it, but it's hard to put your finger on it, because how many definitions could you find of happiness? Tons. So for me, in my work, I'm looking for them to feel cherished, to look forward to being together, to making sure they have time that together that nurtures their relationship, whether it's out having lighthearted fun or really sitting down and doing heartfelt conversation to resolve any issues that have come up, differences, and to do all that respectfully. What gets in the way is our old wired-in patterns, habits, habit reactions, knee-jerk reactions, if you will, that come from old stuff, and being able to identify those and find much more useful ways to resolve the conflicts.
You know, as you get older, what you notice, and I've been married since 1981, so what is that, 36 years, right? only been married to one woman. I met her in college as a freshman. So, but what you learn as you get older, at least what I've learned, is that what you have to do is shake yourself of getting hung up on things that don't matter.
That's part
and
of
I
it.
I think that's what you're talking about there a moment ago. Something grabbed my ear, and immediately I thought of, you know, that's the whole don't get hung up on what doesn't matter, because ultimately you're not really accomplishing anything anyway. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. There's a book. I won't say the exact title because I'd get bleeped, but it's...
Clean it up.
Yeah. The Subtle Art of Giving a Blank...
All right.
You have to learn what's worth giving a blank about and what's not worth giving a blank about.
Yeah, that's true. How many of your patients come in, well, clients, I apologize for using the term patients, because they're not sick.
That's right. And I'm not fixing them.
Yeah.
I'm helping them learn how to fix themselves.
How much we always hear about this, and I think we all have experience with this, that most of the conflicts in a relationship a marriage. It doesn't even have to be a legal marriage, just because a lot of people are together for a long time, and it's,
right.
it's the same thing, really, in terms of the experience,
mm-hmm.
Is always about money. That the most of it is usually arguments start about money.
Often, not always. It is a big issue, but the process of how they resolve their issues and what happens when they get triggered, those knee-jerk reactions, is the same regardless of whether it's money. The stronger the hook, the stronger the difference between their views, the harder it is, the more they get locked into those old destructive patterns. But money just does carry often a lot of charge. So the knee-jerks are really strong. And that's one of my specialties, is helping people learn how to deal with those knee-jerks and give themselves some space to come back down from that stress response, because it's fight or flight. And we lose access to our thinking brain, our prefrontal cortex, when we go into the stress response. So first thing that needs to happen is to take time out and have tools that help us individually calm that stress response down. Then we can have our two resourceful adult selves use our negotiation skills and our listening skills and so on to really work to resolve what's happening.
Tell me about your workshop on Monday. How many couples will be there? Do you have to register for it? Can people show up for it?
They can show up. There's a little bit higher cost for showing up at the last minute without registering ahead. We did have a registration glitch in our registration process that people were not able to sign up for one couple. That's been fixed. So I don't know how many couples we're going to have.
Okay. It's Monday at 6:15, and it's at your office, which
right.
is located where?
It's in Normandy Village in Normal, Building 8. It's 1100 North Beach Street, which is just north of the Casey's at Pine and Beach.
Now, how receptive, when you're working with people, when you're counseling them, you know, they come to your office, and how long are your sessions when you have a session with a client? Or clients?
First session is always an hour and a half, and individual sessions from then on are 50-minute.
So if
and
I
my
can,
but my couple sessions are always an hour and a half.
So if I come, let's just say my wife and I came to you,
mm-hmm.
And it was the first time we were in your office. How would you get us started?
Ask some really easy questions first after we greet each other, and
like, why are you here?
No, that's too, you know, people don't, they're so used to talking about the problem that they get mired in the problem. So I want to warm up a little bit. So I don't have people do the demographic stuff ahead. We do that in the session. And I ask about a few things in their history, but not much. And then I ask that question of, you know, what will your evidence be when you've gotten what you came for? How do you want things to change? Because they can focus on what's wrong. They need to focus on what's right first so that we can figure out the path from here to there. They need a vision of what things will be like when they're done.
Are most of the couples that you talk to fixable?
Yes. Whether they'll do the work or whether they'll put the effort in, because it is effort, because we're countering our automatic patterns. And it's, you know, the biggest thing, Mark, is probably how much effort and focus they put into it outside the relationship. Because if they continue their busy schedules of not connecting or doing their old habits of not really greeting each other warmly at the end of the day and focusing more on the kids and never on their relationship, if they continue doing those things, even though they're doing well in the session, it's going to be really long and slow. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I have started. I've developed a different system for working with couples, intensives. I did one in June, and it was just absolutely fabulous. They're concentrated whole day things, anywhere from 1 to 4.5 days. That's my new way of it's the new wave around the country, and I'm really excited about it.
You said something a minute ago about kids. And I'm going to ask this question, and there's only one way to ask it, and so hopefully nobody will make more of it than it is.
Go for it.
Are kids good for a relationship? You have a strange look on your face.
Yeah, well, it doesn't compute. Because
they affect
absolutely
the way
they affect
you interact with each other.
It depends on how you parent. If you parent as partners, supportive of each other, and really focused on the kids' needs, but keep the relationship nurtured and strong as the foundation for their parenting, then it can be really good. I mean, kids will teach you more about yourselves than anybody else except maybe your spouse.
Yeah, because in every case, kids have a profound effect
absolutely
on your relationship.
Absolutely. In fact, very often couples that I work with will time their difficulties to the birth of the first or second child. How sad. Really.
Does that just
doesn't have to be that way?
Does it just happen that way?
No.
I mean, what's the reason for that?
Oh, well, you know, we haven't talked at all about our socialization patterns, cultural level in this country. You know, we don't teach our men to be caretakers, our boys. We teach them to be on the receiving end of caretaking. So this is a generalization, but it's more often than not true that men tend to not be comfortable with the babies. And on the other hand, women are taught that they are to be the caretakers and know what to do, and they do know a little more what to do, usually, because they've taken care of siblings or babysat or whatever, and they think they know. So their tendency is to take over, even though they'd really like to have a partner, but they, quote, know best. You know, so they're telling what the other one needs to do, and the dad doesn't feel confident to start with, so there's this clash and they withdraw.
Some of it, from what I've witnessed in my own family and with other people that I know, is when you become a mom, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you're competing with whatever your memory is of your mother taking care of you. And you hold yourself up to a certain standard.
That would be one pattern.
I mean, you've seen that before, right?
Yes, and often we are very focused on how we were parented, especially by moms, that didn't work for us. And we're bent on doing it differently, which is the opposite.
Yeah.
And then that, anytime we're doing it automatically in reaction to, that's not going to be our best.
But I think most of us use our parents as a blueprint.
Unfortunately, yes. That's one of the traps. Because who else do we learn from? You know, that's where our patterns are.
So do you get a lot of this with clients who come in and talk about the parenting part and the effect that it's had on their relationship? That's why I asked the question in the first place. And you kind of made a face when I did.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Because I knew it wasn't going to sound good, but here we are, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. And that is, it has an effect. I wasn't trying to imply that you should never have kids. I'm just saying. Well, I have two kids, right? So, but it's a huge deal. And it has ramifications.
Right, big ones. It's huge.
It's the biggest deal.
Yeah.
Really, it's the biggest deal. It's not like buying a house.
For 20 years, it's the biggest deal.
Well, you know what? You say that, but it can be a lifetime.
Well, yes. My kids are 44 and 47. Sorry, Randy and Kim. Telling their ages. I'm familiar with that.
If you happen to have a child who, for whatever reason, you know, is not able to grow up and be, you know, I think of people who have kids who maybe they're not necessarily able to be self-sufficient for whatever reason.
That's tough.
It can be a lifetime
yes,
thing. Yeah.
For various reasons.
Okay, I was going to ask you one other question, and that is, and we're almost out of time, so I maybe shouldn't even go here, but do you find that a lot of people who come into your office, especially younger ones, are trying to change each other to meet what it is they think?
Almost always.
Yeah.
Almost always. Because we all have expectations, which Mark Twain said is the root of all unhappiness.
It is, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Because we need to be in the present moment with what is now rather than predicting and trying to control. That's one of the five losing strategies in one model that I work with, is trying to control your partner.
Yeah.
Deadly. Really deadly.
But everybody has this comfort level. If they know where they're going, if they know where the road is leading, they're much more, and I think that's why they try to do that.
Well, comfort is overrated. If we're not uncomfortable, as one of my teachers was fond of saying, you're not growing. And we're always either growing or dying.
All right. The workshop, the solution-focused workshop, is next Monday at 6:15 at Catherine's office. That's at 1100 North Beach Street. And what's the name of that?
Solution-focused of the business?
No, you had given...
Oh, Normandy Village.
Normandy Village.
Right.
That's Normandy Village in Normal. Hey, thanks for coming in and talking.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate it.